In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Good morning, brothers and sisters. And on this eighth Sunday after Pentecost this year, we have also the celebration the church gives to us of the procession of the Holy Cross, and we also honor the seven Maccabees. And it was on this special feast day in ancient times that the precious cross of our Lord, a piece of the actual cross that Christ was crucified on, in Constantinople, it was kept in the church there, and then on this particular feast day, they would carry the cross all throughout the city, and this was both for the healing of illnesses. People would actually be healed when the cross passed by. It would sanctify the air, the water. It would drive out illness from the city and so forth. And it was also an opportunity for people to venerate the cross in commemoration of the miraculous help that they had through the cross in previous battles. For example, the Orthodox Russians defeated the Bulgarians, and the Orthodox Greeks defeated the Saracens when both of their armies had cross-bearing processions and heavenly rays literally shone forth from the crosses, and they triumphed in those battles. Now, for anyone who has maybe a little rusty on their Old Testament history, in fact, the Maccabees is in one of the apocryphal books of the Old Testament. So if anyone has a little rusty on their Maccabean history, in 173 BC, the king of Syria was occupying Jerusalem at that time, and being a pagan, he decided that he was going to force all the Jews there to eat pork, knowing that this would be offensive to them because they were commanded not to eat pork by God. And so, if you'll remember, there were 70 translators of the Old Testament from Hebrew into Greek, of which St. Simeon was one. But this other translator was Eleazar, and he was already 90 years old at this time, and he refused to eat this pork because, you know, it was forbidden by God. And because of this, he was brought to trial, he was tortured, and burned to death. And then his disciples, who were these seven Maccabean brothers, Habib, Anthony, Guria, Eleazar, Eusebius, Hadim, and Marcellus, and also their mother, Salamonia, all showed great bravery. Since they all refused to eat this pork, these godly brothers were tortured horribly right in front of their mother and finally killed. And when her last son, who was only 3 years old, was thrown into the fire and killed, she herself jumped into the flames and perished. However, God preserved her body incorrupt, and to this day, it rests in the Patriarchal Church of St. George in the Fenar of Constantinople. Well, these righteous Maccabees abstained from eating pork, which in a way was a type of fasting for them because, you know, they're commanded not to eat this. And they heroically chose a martyric death rather than even violate one commandment of God. I mean, this is an incredible witness of the righteous fear of God. And this is why the Holy Church honors their memory even to this day. And so too, as Orthodox Christians, we have also been directed to avoid eating meat and dairy products during the very various fasting times throughout the year. And even today is the first day now of the beginning of the Dormition Fast, which is in preparation for the Feast of the Dormition, in other words, the repose of the Mother of God, that we'll celebrate this in 2 weeks, on August 28th. So today's gospel about this miraculous feeding of the great multitude by Christ is very rich in spiritual meaning for us. In a literal way, of course, Christ had compassion on these people. They had been listening to his teaching, and they were so, you know, wrapped up in what he was saying that they just forgot to eat. They didn't think about it. They were just focused on what amazing teaching and also the healings that he was doing. And yet the Lord was aware that, you know, he knew that they would be hungry, and so he not only was willing to feed them in this miraculous way, but he also wished to do it in a way that would strengthen their faith, the faith of the disciples. So when the Lord commanded his disciples, "Give ye them to eat," and they replied they only had 5 loaves and 2 fish, and then he said, "Give them to me." So after blessing and breaking the bread, as the disciples began to distribute this little bit, the baskets began to fill up, and they just remained full until everyone had eaten, and so there were 12 baskets left over. Well, because of the disciples' obedience and willingness to do what the Lord had asked of them, a great miracle took place. The people, in fact, were so amazed that they wanted to make Christ a king. They wanted to drag him back to Jerusalem and, you know, put him up on a throne and put a crown on him like King David. However, the Lord did not become incarnate to be that type of an earthly king. For as he said to Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. Now, earthly food, such as bread and fish, is also an image of spiritual food, in a sense, which is essential for the health of our souls. And just as our bodies grow weak and sick without food, so too the soul grows weak and sick without its spiritual food. Well, we might ask, what is spiritual food, really? Remember, when Satan tried to tempt Christ in the wilderness, he said, you know, if you're the Son of God, you must be hungry after fasting for 40 days. Command that these stones be changed into bread. And what did Christ say? Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now we know that God spoke through the prophets and the apostles and their successors, the Holy Fathers. And so therefore, whenever we read the Holy Scriptures and the sacred writings of and spiritual writings of the Holy Fathers, our souls are nourished and edified. Our souls are also nourished whenever we fast and pray, whenever we give alms to the church and the poor and do good deeds, and most especially when we confess our sins and receive Holy Communion. St. Nikolai Vlimirovich once talked about how when Christ instructs us to feed the hungry, this goes beyond just the mere giving of physical food to the poor. He points out that there are people all around us who are actually spiritually hungry, and as Orthodox Christians, we have a great responsibility to provide spiritual nourishment for them, which is primarily by our witness, by our practicing our faith, as it were. So let us therefore keep this fast that is before us for these next 2 weeks and embrace the way of the cross, which is our spiritual struggle. And having fed our own souls, let us pray that we may acquire the spirit of peace, in other words, the grace of the Holy Spirit, by which, as St. Seraphim of Sarov has said, 1,000 souls around us will be saved. Glory be to our God.